So what type of mobilizer are you? In the previous episode, we considered Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, where Paul reveals five core leadership functions that Jesus established to equip local ministries for wholehearted involvement in the Great Commission. We also considered a further seven mobilizer categories, such as a recruiter mobilizer or a discipler mobilizer and many others. These are all meant to help us identify which kind of mobilizer we as ministry leaders might be. So in this episode, we want to apply these categories to a few historical mobilizers in order to understand what the different types of mobilizers practically look like. I hope you enjoy this episode, and more than that, that you are able to begin to identify some of the types and the categories of mobilizer that you might be.
Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Shaw, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
Okay, welcome to our 41st episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we consider the foundational elements related to this ministry that God is raising up of focused mission mobilization, how we are to understand it theologically, biblically, practically, and how we are meant to implement mission mobilization in the lives of our churches and our denominations across the global body of Christ. So in this episode, we want to build on what we began looking at in the previous episode, where we are talking about several types of mission mobilizers and really considering all the variety of types of functions and roles and operations that different mobilizers might take on. And we use the analytical grid of the five leadership functions that Paul highlights in Ephesians chapter 4. And we also added to that seven additional categories, we can say, of different mobilizer types, functions, and operations. Now what we want to do in this episode is consider a few, we're going to look at two historic mobilizers and analyze the type of mobilizer functions that they walked in and how they walked out their mobilizer calling. Now a primary reason that we want to do this is to remember. It's very important for the Church of Jesus Christ to remember and to celebrate what God has done in the past, even to progress the body of Christ forward related to mission mobilization being emphasized across His church. So remembering our history, actually it inspires us to envision how God might want to use our generation today. That's the main value. Yes, we want to remember what He's done in the past. Yes, we want to celebrate what He's done in the past. But the key thing is we want to learn and we want to be inspired by what He's done in the past in order to say, Lord, what do you want to do today in our generation? How do you want to see mission mobilization as a ministry entity become emphasized across the Church of Jesus Christ? So the leaders that we're going to look at, these two leaders, they were giants in mission mobilization. Yet, they're usually not remembered in this way, in terms of a focus on mobilization. They had different emphasis points that the church generally remembers them for in church history, but in fact, they were incredible, extraordinary mobilizers, we can say. We want to remind ourselves with this that mission mobilization is a large, complex, and multifaceted ministry entity, and it has many types of leaders. So usually we just think of mobilization or mobilizers in a one-dimensional way, and we looked a little bit at that in the last episode that we considered. So we want to understand that it's important to study these giants or study mobilizer roles in general so we can reflect on what our own calling as ministry leaders, what our own calling related to mobilization might be. Yes, we might be a pastor. Yes, we might be a Bible study leader. Yes, we might be a prayer leader. Okay, but we are also meant to be a mission mobilizer. And so studying these mobilizer giants enables us to see how God used them in these different other ministry functions and roles and types, but how they were also called as a mobilizer, an apostle mobilizer, or a pastor mobilizer, or a teacher mobilizer, or a discipler mobilizer. There's so many different categories, and we looked at that again in the previous episode. So we want to start by looking at the first of these giants in mobilization, and his name was Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. I trust that some of you watching or listening to this podcast, you'll recognize that name. Zinzendorf is what we will call him for short. That's his last name. He lived from the year 1700 to 1760, and he was a German religious and a social reformer. He became the bishop of the Moravian Church, which was a Christian community at Herrnhut, Germany. He was a Christian missions pioneer, and we're going to look at that in a moment. And he was a major figure of the 18th century, so that's the 1700s, major figure of the 18th century Protestantism. So he was a big global leader. What we often overlook is that he was a massive mission mobilizer. Okay, and that's what we want to touch on in this episode. So Zinzendorf was born as a very wealthy nobleman. So he was born into elite society. He was a nobleman, which meant he had a lot of respect, he had a lot of honor, and he had a lot of money, even at a very young age. And in 1722, God touched his heart to begin to provide shelter for these this Moravian group of people that were actually in exile at the time. So they were persecuted Christians, these Moravians, and the Lord touched young Zinzendorf. He was 20, 22 years old at the time, very young, wealthy nobleman. He had a big estate, and the Lord touched his heart to allow these Moravian exiles, these persecuted believers, to come and to live on his estate, which was called Bethelsdorf. Okay, and so these Moravian exiles, they came in and they set up a village on his estate, and the village that they called was it was called Herrnhut. Herrnhut, and that is the well-known kind of Moravian location connection that we know even of today. Some of us have heard of the Moravians living at Herrnhut, the village of Herrnhut. So Zinzendorf felt Jesus's love for the world at a very early age. He believed also that every church community, because of all that Jesus had done for us, out of thanksgiving for his sacrifice, his death and resurrection on the cross, all of his privileges and blessings and benefits that he's poured out to us, that every church community, out of thanksgiving for all of that, should be ready to go anywhere and should be ready to even accept any sacrifice in order to take the gospel to the whole world. And so Zinzendorf was one of the greatest missionary statesmen, actually, of the last 300 years. And he was a passionate mission mobilizer. Now, Herrnhut, this community, it was a significant church community, but it was they emphasized a missionary type calling. So it was a missionary community as well as a church community. And they deliberately chose to go to the hardest and the most hostile and the out of the way places of that day, which was again the mid or the early to mid 1700s. So they would send missionaries, message bearers, as we call them, to the West Indies, to Greenland, to the American colonies, to many places that were hostile to the gospel. They were the unreached, we can say, of their day. And from this missionary community in Herrnhut, Germany, one out of every 13 believers, listen to this, one out of every 13 believers from their community went to a distant culture with the gospel. One out of every 13 people from this little community. It never got very big. It was this little church community in Herrnhut, Germany, led by this Zinzendorf guy. And one out of every 13 of the people were sent out as message bearers. It's an incredible percentage, actually, of believers that got involved in missions. And so the Moravians and Zinzendorf as a leader dynamically influenced the mission movement from the 1700s when they got started for the next 300 years. Their influence in mobilizing their own people and then others hearing the story of how God mobilized this little Moravian community in Herrnhut, Germany, to touch the world for the sake of the gospel. This story went out over the next 300 years, and it influenced many great, great mission leaders. One of those, we know the name of William Carey, right? The first kind of Protestant Western missionary really ever to be sent in the modern mission movement, William Carey. So in the 1780s, William Carey became familiar with the Moravians who were sending out their people in 1730s, 40s, 50s, 60s. So this is the 1780s now. And William Carey is hearing about these Moravians who were raised up from this missionary community, this church community in Herrnhut, Germany. And the story of it caused William Carey to have his own heart for missions and his own heart for mobilization really stirred up. Another one that the Moravians influenced and Zinzendorf himself influenced was John Wesley. We know that name, don't we? John Wesley is the founder of the Methodist movement, also in the late 1700s into the 1800s. Now, John Wesley actually visited Herrnhut, this little village with this Moravian church community who was radically involved in sending and radically involved in praying. They had something called the 100-year prayer meeting, the Moravians did, where literally for 100 years, unbroken, they prayed hour by hour by hour by hour for the missionary movement and for mobilization to be going forward. So Zinzendorf had a profound mobilization impact on many different mobilizers and missionaries who would come after him. Now let's analyze him a little bit as a mobilizer. So when we look at the Ephesians 4, verse 11, leadership mobilizer functions, okay, that we introduced in the previous episode. So if you've not yet listened to episode number 40, you need to go back and really listen and study even the different mobilizer, the leadership mobilizer functions that Paul highlights in Ephesians chapter 4. But of these five, we can call them the fivefold ministry, right? Ministries of these functions, Zinzendorf really had three, okay? But his strongest one was as an apostle mobilizer. You remember, an apostle oversees many ministries and also starts new types of ministries. Well, Zinzendorf did that. He was the bishop over the Moravian church community, and then he really started and launched the missionary sending part of this Moravian church community. So he was definitely an apostolic figure, but he didn't just do an function as an apostle in his own area. He was a mobilizer, and he raised up new ministries and sent them forth all over the unreached areas of that day. He was also a prophet mobilizer. And again, you can go back to episode 40 to learn what a prophet mobilizer is and how they function. He was also a teacher mobilizer. So of the five kind of these functions that Paul introduces for us, that Jesus has established to equip his church for the sake of the ministry and for the sake of the Great Commission, Zinzendorf was an apostle mobilizer, a prophet mobilizer, and a teacher mobilizer. Now, we also want to consider some of the seven additional mobilizer categories that we highlighted. And we can say Zinzendorf was a discipler mobilizer. He had some of the others as well, but we just want to kind of focus on the discipler, and he was also a trainer mobilizer. We talked a little bit about that again in the previous episode. A trainer mobilizer teaches and has seminars and conferences and uses their platform in ministry to train the believers that are under their sphere of influence about missions, to understand the Great Commission, about specific nuances of the Great Commission, going into detail so that those believers are being trained not only to become missionaries themselves, but to be activated in all the different roles related to the Great Commission. So that's the first giant of mobilization that we want to look at in this episode. His name was Zinzendorf, the Moravian community at Herrnhut, Germany. If that's all new to you, I encourage you to Google a little bit about this, really to study it out. You want to know who Count Zinzendorf was, and you want to know about this Moravian community that he founded. The next giant we're going to look at was named Arthur Tappan Pearson. But he went by A.T., Arthur Tappan, A.T. Pearson. So if you look up A.T. Pearson, you'll find this same guy. And he lived from 1837 to 1911. Okay, so who was A.T. Pearson? Well, he was an American Presbyterian pastor. He was also a Christian leader. He was a missionary advocate and a promoter and a writer. He preached over 13,000 sermons. He wrote over 50 books, and he gave many Bible lectures all together as part of a massive international preaching ministry that made him very, very famous in Scotland, England, and even in Korea. Okay, and Pearson was part of, and we can say he was the main person, really this is true historically, A.T. Pearson catalyzed the late 19th century, so the 19th century is the late 1800s, the late 19th century American evangelical missionary movement that was coming out of America in the late 1800s. So if you look back in history, prior to 1870, there had only been about 2,000 missionaries from the U.S. that were serving in full-time service around the world. Only about 2,000 in 1870, or prior to 1870, about 2,000. But then in the 1880s, there was this massive push forward related to missions becoming more understood, more emphasized, and many, many more missionaries being raised up and sent out. And most historians look back and they say A.T. Pearson was a key figure in seeing this influx, this focal point on missions being raised up in the 1880s. In 1885, he spoke at a Bible conference that was sponsored by another very well-known revivalist in those days. You might have heard of the name D.L. Moody. Many of us have. So this conference was sponsored by D.L. Moody, and Moody and A.T. Pearson were close friends. And so Pearson, at this conference, he called on American Protestant evangelical churches to actually launch a worldwide missionary campaign. Okay. Before that, only about 2,000 at the very most missionaries had been sent from America. But after that, because of this emphasis now in the Protestant churches to launch this worldwide missionary campaign, the missions thrust moved forward in a very, very significant way. And it was A.T. Pearson who was involved in this. Now, Pearson also spoke about missions to many college students. And one particular conference, again, that was held by Moody, D.L. Moody, that Pearson was at, he was speaking at, he called the young people, the student generation at this conference, to their own missionary movement. And what came out of this became known as the Student Volunteer Movement for Foreign Missionaries, where on campuses all over America and Canada, and it spread even into England eventually, where students on these campuses were meeting and learning about missions. Yes, about the Bible. Yes, about prayer. Yes, about all the normal things that our campus ministries focus on. But they added this strong emphasis on mobilization and on focusing on the Great Commission. And so A.T. Pearson acted as an elder statesman of this student mobilization movement. And he actually became the leading evangelical advocate for foreign missions in the late 1800s, the late 19th century. So Pearson, A.T. Pearson, his theological belief and focus was that we could see as the church what he called the evangelization of the world in this generation. And so he wrote books about this subject, the evangelization of the world in this generation. He preached about this subject whenever he taught with student groups or with churches, because he was a church pastor himself. Whenever he talked about missions, he would highlight this evangelization of the world, that this is possible in this generation, he would say. And so he promoted missions through hundreds of books and articles and speeches. And he even had a journal, a missionary journal that he started. He was the main editor of a non-denominational, interdenominational missions journal that became very, very important for mobilization in that day, which was the late 1800s. Now let's look a little bit, let's analyze a little bit of Pearson's leadership mobilization functions from, again, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, looking at the fivefold ministry, the leadership mobilization functions. So A.T. Pearson, his dominant function was a pastor mobilizer, okay? So he used his incredible pulpit ministry. He was a Presbyterian pastor of one of the largest Presbyterian churches in the late 1800s in America. And again, he traveled all over the world preaching and teaching. So he had a very vast pulpit ministry, and he used that incredible platform to teach the biblical focal point of the Great Commission and how it is incumbent upon the body of Jesus Christ, the Church of Christ, to arise and to fulfill the Great Commission. He would often teach that if God wanted to just fulfill the Great Commission on his own, he would have done it. But no, he doesn't do that. He has called us and commanded us, actually, to do our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. So that was his dominant leadership mobilizer type, as a pastor mobilizer. But he also was a prophet mobilizer, because he was able to see things about the Great Commission that weren't yet happening, that God wanted to bring forth in the future, and he would talk about those topics in his preaching and in his teaching ministry. That is one of the things that we attribute to a prophet mobilizer, someone who's able to see beyond what is happening right then in the Great Commission movement, as well as in mobilization, and call into being things that aren't yet happening. This is a prophet mobilizer. He also was a teacher mobilizer, and those pastor mobilizer roles and the teacher mobilizer role often dovetail, and they're connected. So A.T. Pearson provided extraordinary clarity related to the plans, purposes, and ways of God in mission. And he inspired so many of that generation, the late 1800s, so that many pastors followed in his footsteps because, again, he was a pastor mobilizer. So he used his church platform to mobilize his church and then many other churches, and he trained other pastor mobilizers who were pastors of churches, senior leaders in their local church communities. He trained them how to mobilize those church communities to get them on fire for the Great Commission. And in addition to those fivefold leadership mobilizer functions, the seven additional categories of mobilizer, one of the key ones that we can say about him is he was a motivational mobilizer. You remember we talked about that in the last episode, a motivational mobilizer. That's hard to say. It's kind of a lot of syllables there. A motivational mobilizer is one who often is a teacher mobilizer, often maybe a pastor mobilizer, but who speaks at conferences and different groups and is used to motivate or inspire a generation of believers related to the mission movement. We call them motivational mobilizers. And A.T. Pearson was that. He was also a historical mobilizer. We looked at that. That's one of the seven categories. So since he passed in 1911, long time ago now, his books have continued to be reprinted and published. His messages continued to be distributed in many different ways on paper. Okay, in blogs, you can find his influence, his mobilization influence still today, and we are meant to learn from that. That's why we call him a historical mobilizer. He's someone that we, today, in our current mobilization generation, we can look back and learn from what he did as a historical mobilizer. So these are the two giants of mobilization that we want to look at in this episode, particularly to analyze their mobilization, their mobilizer functions and roles. And I hope you've been inspired by that in this episode. Now, I want to close by leaving with you a question. The question is, what type of mobilizer are you? I want you to maybe look at the fivefold mobilizer leadership functions, again, that Paul introduces us to, that Jesus established for the sake of equipping his church, and that's highlighted in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and then the additional seven types or categories of mobilizer. I want you to look at those and then ask yourself, what type has God created me to function as? And I want to encourage you, for more information on this, yes, you can look back in episode 40 of these podcasts, but then also, this is a book, Rethinking Global Mobilization, that goes into detail about all of these mobilizer types. And so you can order this book for your leadership teams and your churches. You guys can study it together. I encourage this to be used in Bible studies and churches and campus ministries, etc., for many reasons, but really learning about these mobilizer types that God has called us to function in. It's much more than just recruiting for mission agencies, and that's what we looked at last time in the previous episode. So let me close us in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these different mobilizer functions and roles and types and activities, Lord, that you've called your church and that you've called leaders. We who are ministry leaders, we are meant to identify our mobilizer role and then to begin becoming activated in it, begin functioning and operating in these mobilizer roles. Lord, we pray for your dynamic help, for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to lead and guide us to understand these roles and then to be activated into them ourselves. Lord, we believe that you are moving in our generation related to mission mobilization. God, so you're calling leaders, ministry leaders who are pastors right now, who are apostolic figures over entire denominations even. Lord, many more examples. You're calling us as leaders to also emphasize mission mobilization, the ministry of mission mobilization in our churches and local ministries. Lord, help us to walk this out. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you today.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.